Welcome to Thundercast, Thunder Tech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hi there, and welcome back to Thundercast, Thunder Tech's regular podcast. I'm Craig Israel, creative director at Thunder Tech. We have a couple guest stars with us today. Jason Therrien, president and head honcho of Thunder Tech.
Howdy.
And doing her first ever Thundercast, our manager of account services, Andrea Aber.
Hello.
So today we are going to talk about the state of B2B marketing. So Andrea Aber is here as our special guest star, having just returned from the BMA conference. So tell us about it. What's BMA, first of all?
Yeah, so BMA is Business Marketing Association. So there are about 50 different chapters across the United States. And I'm actually the local chapter president for here in Cleveland. So for the past couple years, we've attended the Business Marketing Association conference. It's actually in Chicago. So this year was by far their biggest year. So it was really exciting to be a part of it. So just kind of when I say biggest year, this year they had about 1,300 attendees, and that really ranged from 35 different states and 15 nations.
So what kind of attendees? What kind of businesses or organizations attend this thing?
The majority of the businesses that attend obviously are definitely on the B2B side. And on top of that, there are a decent amount of agencies. So in terms of your specific role, if they're coming from an actual business, they're not necessarily just in marketing. They can also be in sales, but you're definitely going to get a lot of the combined people that their roles focus on marketing and sales.
And honestly, a good 10% are just there for the free drinks. Would that be
yes.
Accurate?
They do have do have some parties. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about those?
The parties? Not for this conversation, okay. But maybe another time.
Note to self, follow yes. up on parties with right. Andrea.
So I've gotten to go a couple of years. This year I did not, and so have you, obviously, and others. What was different this year? And what's the state of B2B marketing in as far as the summer of 2015 goes?
Well, I think that obviously, content marketing has been a very popular term over the past couple years. But this year, they really hit home more on the content marketing and mobile strategy. I think that those two, by far, compared to last year, it was talked about. But this year, it was a lot of, okay, everybody, it's time to actually get serious. This is not going away. It's here and it's going to be here for some time now.
So we talk a lot about content marketing internally, but for the benefit of any of our listeners who may not be familiar, what is content marketing?
Well, I mean, content marketing, I think, means a lot of different things depending on the organization, but it's the very broad-based concept of corporate publishing. So it may be in many forms. And different uses of those forms, blogging, white papers, video, et cetera. But creating content distributed through those vehicles to typically assist during the buyer journey, you know, the fancy word for phrase for the sales cycle, the sales process. So how content can assist as you go to market and take a potential buyer all the way through to a satisfied consumer.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, for the speakers that did talk about content marketing, a lot of it was specifically around the content around the products and services from a B2B standpoint. So it's making sure that you're really providing that relevant content and not just putting content, whether it's on your website or even social media platforms. It's utilizing the content for those products and pushing it out so people can gain that knowledge that way as well.
So is content marketing just another term for a hard sale, or is it more educational in nature?
I mean, I think it's both, but definitely from an educational standpoint. So, you know, one example that they were talking about is, you know, people just in stores, you know, whether they're waiting in line or looking to purchase something is they're more likely going to pull out their mobile device and look up on their phone what they're looking for. So having that content out there from an educational standpoint.
Well, it's interesting. The Content Marketing Institute, which we're big fans of, Joe Polizzi and friends over there, they had a study in the last couple of months. It was something like 90% of the content marketing out there is still very salesy and less education. And Craig, that's where I think most brands are doing it wrong, right? You can see this. I think most consumers see this just in Facebook or Twitter, where your stream is, if you follow a brand, you're going to see those very overt, look at me type of posts versus something that's actually educational and valuable to the end user, like Andrea's talking about.
So it seems like we've seen a shift in, slowly, as you say, Jason, yeah. But a shift that brands don't need to beat the drum as hard as they used to for their own benefit. But if they educate their customers, they're associated, the brand is associated with this information, which in turn makes a more favorable impression on the end user.
I would agree. Absolutely.
So I think Craig, to elaborate on that, is Joe, who actually was one of the speakers at the conference and, of course, talked about content.
Did you get his autograph?
Oh.
Okay, very good. You've been a groupie from way back.
Yeah.
Well, full disclosure, he's also one of your board members, right?
Yes, he is also on the board as well.
So BMA.
We have an in that way. So really, to have a lot of that effective content marketing, he hit home on really documenting that process. So getting together with the correct key stakeholders within your organization, making sure that everyone is on the exact same page when it comes to the content strategy. And then, by no surprise, is making sure that you follow that strategy. So he has seen more than I think he would like to admit is people putting the time into actually putting together that process and that strategy, but then when it gets busy or something might change, is that they're not always actually following that. So if you all agree upon it, make sure that you review it, you update it, and you follow it.
So this is no different than social strategies that we've been talking about for years, right? The worst thing to have is a blog that you never update, or a Facebook or a Twitter feed that just languishes, mm-hmm. right? So a strategy is important for that, and it's just as important for content marketing.
Right. And it's making sure that you have people dedicated and allocated to the content that you're pushing out. If you want to get into it really quickly and you don't have the people dedicated to it, then it's just going to fall off. So making sure that you have someone on your staff that's going to commit his or her time to it.
And I think the strategy part of this is really critical too, because it's not just throwing out random articles that you came across in a publication or on the internet. It's having a cohesive thought behind it. And as a creative guy, I would go as far as to say is having a creative strategy and maybe consistent look and feel for the materials you're pushing out too is just as important to make sure that you're not only educating your clientele, but you're supporting your brand at the same time, and you can do that visually and through the content.
Absolutely. So what else? What were some other big topics of note?
Another big topic that we've touched on very briefly was just around mobile in general. So the vice president of sales and service of Google attended the conference. He actually was the first person to speak on the very first day. So anyone from Google is going to attract a lot of people. Now we know that not everybody out there is like a Google. So, their stats that they're putting out there are, stats for much larger companies as well. But something to keep in mind, and a stat that I wrote down was mobile users have increased 3 times in the past 2 years, and 42% of total B2B searches are mobile.
And that's huge. We used to think of B2B as lagging 10 years or more behind B2C, but it sounds like that the B2B adoption of mobile is starting to catch up.
Repeat that stat again.
Mobile users has increased 3 times in the past 2 years, and 42% of total B2B searches are mobile.
42. Wow. Yeah, we all knew it was coming. It's good to finally see it, kind of these larger numbers. And, you know, so I read your blog post, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. One read.
One view. Appreciate that.
You can find Andrea's post, shameless plug, at ThunderTech's blog. But you had mentioned about the kind of mobile first marketing, right? So can you talk a little bit more about that? Because it was nice to hear that was not just coming from the agency perspective, but also seemed to be a topic of note at the conference.
Yeah, I mean, it basically had a lot of discussion around if you're going to be launching a product, for instance. I mean, this was specifically a product in the B2B world, is making sure that you're actually going to market with a digital strategy first. So yes, you can still pay attention to the traditional advertising aspects of it. That is still very much important. But with the stat of 42% of total B2B searches are mobile, is making sure that when you're about to launch something, actually have that mobile strategy behind it.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's not always at the top of everyone's mind, but you know, it's there. And I think that's where we see more success stories month by month, clients you know, hearing about those anecdotal wins that somebody called them right from the site or something crazy like that. And wow, this mobile stuff is working. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome to hear them get on their soapbox on that.
Another topic that I did not include in my blog post was one of the marketers of Pinterest was there. So a lot of people view Pinterest as just a B2C player, but they've been seeing more B2B clients take a lot of opportunities with the platform. On the B2C side, a lot of customers are thinking, I need a lot of pins, and that's what's important. Obviously, content is there as well, but on the B2B side, it's the content that they're really pushing out. So they might not have as many pins, but they're still getting, you know, a decent amount of value out of it from the content that they're pushing there.
So, I mean, Craig, what do you think that says about the creative nature of things?
So first I have to say that Pinterest, I'm really interested in seeing what is going to happen with it from the B2B side. It's really thought of as a B2B player, and it's something that I personally have been late to. But lately, my team, the creative team, has been using Pinterest quite a bit for kind of brainstorming and inspiration and such. And so that seems like an intuitive use for it. So I'm really curious to see how this pans out in the B2B world, where they might have less intuitive uses, you know, content driven, like you said. But yeah, I think it reinforces the notion that all brands, B2B or B2C, are very visual in nature. Yeah. And emotional too. You might not think of your industrial manufacturing B2B client as telling an emotional story. But I'd argue that all brands are trying to elicit some sort of emotion, right? It might not be tug at the heartstrings like baby products or something along those lines, but it's still stories that resonate with users at a very, you know, internal, visceral level. And the visuals that you use for that, really help tell the story.
Yeah, it's been interesting just watching that arena evolve from the B2B perspective, that anybody with a, an image kind of offering, right? So their product is beautiful or can be photographed easily. You know, I think I've been on there, trying to get on there for a little while now. It's the others that haven't thought about, like you said, you know, maybe the manufacturers that haven't thought about their offering being shown in a visually interesting way that are slowly going to need to trial, you know, like everything else we talk about here. So that's cool he brought that up.
So kind of an interesting question for you, put you guys on the spot, is how many pins do you think Pinterest currently has?
Universal?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Literally dozens, I think.
Jason, do you have a guess?
I'd add a two more zeros behind his guess.
I don't know. All right. 10 million.
Try 50 billion pins.
Gosh. That's not a real number.
Yes, I can't count that high.
According to the Pinterest guy, that's what he said. 50 billion pins.
Well, and like with numbers like that, it just tells you B2B is going to be in there at some level, right? That's just too many pins to not say there's a B2B company experimenting with it.
There, yes. I imagine there you can find nearly anything if you look hard enough on Pinterest.
Now. Right.
Right. So you look at all the different social media platforms. So this was something that I thought that he mentioned that was really interesting. And as someone in the audience, I was even questioning myself on what I do on all the different social media platforms. So specifically for Facebook, a lot of people utilize Facebook in terms of what you just recently did. So I attended a wedding or I went to an event and I'm going to post all the photos. On Twitter, it's what your thoughts are at that very moment. However, with Pinterest, it's really being utilized for what you want to do in the future. So it's that forward thinking. So I think that a lot of brands need to be thinking about Pinterest by that way, is what do you want your followers to see from a forward thinking standpoint.
It's a really interesting notion that Pinterest is becoming a parking lot for inspiration, right? That people are seeing things and they're too busy to really process them at the time, but then they pin them and say, I want to go back and look at this later. And I'd be really curious to see, once you have 30, 50 pins, that you go back and look at it as a whole, what kind of things that inspires.
Right.
Okay, so did you, was there a trade show portion of this where you get to walk around vendor floor thing?
Not necessarily, not like your traditional trade show. Like a CMOD in Vegas.
Right.
I mean, that's just massive. This is a little bit different, where you might have a couple vendors, like an automation platform, stuff like that. But it really is just, you know, I think it's like 45 different speakers, and it's pretty much every 15, 30 or 45 minutes, someone speaks, you get off the stage and another person comes up.
So it's kind of like a South by Southwest, but fewer tacos.
Exactly. Fewer tacos.
Less Austin.
Yeah. Less Austin, more Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have a hot dog?
No hot dog in Chicago.
Deep dish pizza?
That's
a Chicago thing, right?
That is a Chicago thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Maybe next time. Next year. BMA 16.
All right. Something to shoot for.
Yeah.
All right, so that is Thundercast for this episode. A reminder that if you like what you heard today, you can subscribe to us on Stitcher or iTunes or wherever fine podcasts are sold. If you could do us a favor and review us on iTunes, that would help us out. Try to give us an idea of what's working, what's not working. And if you have topics of interest you would like to hear about or just general feedback, as always, you can tweet us at ThunderTech, visit us on our website, thundertech.com, or, and this is new, you can email the producers of the podcast directly at thundercast@thundertech.com. Okay, that's it. Final thoughts, Jason?
I love hearing that this stuff is moving from theory to practice for B2B marketers. So that's cool. This should be an exciting year ahead.
Andrea?
Final thought is B2B world out there, definitely look into attending the conference in 2016.
Excellent. For me, more hot dogs, deep dish pizza next time.
Yes.
Got it.
All right.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks.